Today I want us to be looking at Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to be looking at verses 1 through 8. Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And look in verse 17. And God said, And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But back to verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Today and maybe next Sunday, the Lord willing, I want to be looking at this topic here, where it's recorded about when God destroyed the earth and man and all creeping things in the flood, and how that God rained his judgment and his wrath upon this earth, but a man named Noah found grace in his eyes, and God told Noah how to make the ark to prepare for to save his family and those that were in it, and how that this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and redemption of his people. But today, before we primarily get into the flood itself, I want us to look today at the things which happened the days preceding the flood. Why? What was the cause that the man became so wicked that God said that it repented him that he made man, it grieved him at his heart, and he said, I'm going to destroy man that I've created from on the face of the earth. This is what I want us to try to look at today. The days in which Noah lived were wicked and dark days, and they were very few people who believed in God or walked with God. There's no difference between the days of Noah and the days in which we live. In the book of Matthew, our Lord said, Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 37, But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That which was going on in the days of Noah, that which was going on prior into the days leading up to the flood, is the same things that's going on in our day. Our Lord said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in our day. There's no difference. Everyone was living to fulfill the lust of the flesh. It said they were drinking and marrying, giving in marriage. That's not saying there's anything wrong with eating and drinking or marrying or giving in marriage. But all they were consumed with was fulfilling the lust of their flesh and the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And they were by nature children of wrath. They were without any concern for the worship of God or the honor of God. And this generation, as our generation, are headed for judgment. These people that lived, they didn't realize what was going on. Said they didn't know till the day that the flood came. They had no idea. They knew not till God rained the water down upon the earth in the time of the flood. Like that generation. Describes our generation. I want you to turn to, if you have your Bible, to 2 Peter chapter 3. And I'm going to read all these verses, 18 verses, 2 Peter chapter 3. said this second epistle, beginning in verse 1, "Beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now watch this, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing." Up in verse 5 it said these people were willingly ignorant. Ignorant of the fact that God is a holy, righteous, and just God. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. That one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and the thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's long-suffering to somebody. He's not willing that some people should not perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. After the flood, we'll see that probably next week, how that when God brought Noah through the flood, he promised Noah that he would not destroy the earth again by water. And here we see that he has reserved this earth, that it will one day be be destroyed by fire. Seeing that all these things shall be burned up. Seeing then, verse 11, that all these things shall be dissolved, what manners of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Can you imagine what those people, how they would have lived differently if they recognized and realized that God's judgment was falling upon the earth? He's saying, you know these things. You're not ignorant of these things. God's long-suffering to you, word. We are looking for and we are hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise, God's promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, now we find out who Paul's writing to. Beloved, seeing that you look for these things, be diligent that you may be found in him in peace without spot and blameless. An account, now watch this, that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Back in verse 9 he said, but is long suffering to usward. So we need to account and consider that the long suffering of our God is salvation, deliverance of his people. That's what he did in the ark. He delivered his people and brought them through the wrath of God. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, before beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The world looks at God's long-suffering different than the way God's people do. His long-suffering is to us, where he suffers long with us. We see here in verse 3 back in our text when God said, that his man's days shall be 120 years. That's not saying that that's how long man would live, but that's saying how long it would be till God would bring judgment upon the earth. That's how long God would put up with it. He'll said, I'll be long-suffering another 120 years, and in that he'd bring judgment. In the days before the flood, what was primarily going on, as we look in these verses, the first few verses of Genesis chapter 6, it was days of compromise. And back in Genesis chapter 5, we see the genealogy. Beginning in verse 1, going from Adam all the way down through Noah, and that covers 10 generations. But the opening verses of Genesis 6 look backward and not forward, giving us the history of the world, and it's describing the character of mankind in the days which preceded the flood. So he's describing in these first verses the character, the characteristics of mankind. What were they like? What were they doing? Why was it so wicked that God couldn't stand it anymore and says, I'm going to destroy all men from the face of the earth? It says here in verse 6, when men begin to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them. When these unbelievers, the line of Cain, begin to multiply on the face of the earth, when believers, true believers that believed and trusted and rested in God Almighty, were just a very small number. Doesn't that seem similar today? This is how it is today. Look around. It's hard to find a true church where the gospel of God's grace is preached. Try to find one. I know that there's what people call churches on every corner, but they're not a church where God is worshipped, where God is honored, and his gospel is preached. So he said, when men begin to multiply, unbelievers begin to multiply on the face of this earth. That's how it is today. These sons of Cain, and then the sons of Seth, these sons of God, the sons of Seth, saw the daughters of men, these unbelievers, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now picture this. These believers, as they looked around, they said, where are we going to find a wife? Who are we going to find somebody that we can marry and have children by? And they began to look around, and they were not any. They were not any believers. They were so few and far between. So what did they begin to do? They began to look at these daughters of men. And they took these daughters of men, or the daughters of Cain, and these are where they took and they found their wives. These women, these daughters of men, the scriptures describe them in Proverbs, that they dress enticing, they appeal to the eye, they flatter with the tongue, they like the flirt, it's appealing to the flesh. That's how they acted. That's how they won the hearts of these men. And these sons of God, or professed to be sons of God, took them to themselves, these daughters of men. Now, this is what is happening. This is what is happening. These women, these unbelievers, these women who did not know God, did not worship God, they pulled away their hearts, these men's hearts, away from God. In Exodus chapter 34, beginning in verse 15, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods. And one call thee, and thou shalt eat of his sacrifice. And thou shalt take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and they make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Solomon was not exempt from this. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, the women of Moabite, Amorite, Edomites, Zidonians, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord God had said unto the children of Israel. And here's what God said, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. And Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart from God. That's what these women did. They turned away these men's hearts away from the true worship of God and to the worship of all these false gods. And that's what's happening today. Men may claim to believe God. They may claim to worship God, but they're compromising just a little bit. They say, well, it's surely not that narrow. Yes, it's that narrow. It's just Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And this is what was going on in the earth before the flood. And anybody that has any spiritual sight can see this is what's going on in the day in which we live. How did we get in the mess in which we are in today? Compromise. Compromise. Say, well, let's just compromise the truth just a little bit. I can see this young boy, he falls in love with this girl, and she goes to some other church where they don't believe the same gospel. And I can see him say, well, you know, I can marry her, and I'll go to her church, then I'll come back to mine when I want to. It doesn't work that way. She'll take him away, and he'll never come back. And that's what was going on. But in this day, prior to the flood, there was a man who lived whose name was Enoch, back in verse 21 of chapter 5. It's kind of ironic if you'll read this whole chapter where it lists, it said the men lived a certain amount of time, then they had a son, then they lived so long after they had their children. It says in verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after that he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Everybody else, it said, after they lived, and then he died. He lived, and then he died. Methuselah said he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God took this man Enoch. He lived in the days just prior to the flood. In those dark, dark days when very few people did, Enoch walked with God. That's amazing. Enoch walked with God. Some who did profess to believe God, they compromised every principle and tried to unite the worship of God with all the false gods, but not Enoch. Enoch walked with God. The scriptures say, how can two walk together except they be agreed? He walked with God. Listen to what else it says about Enoch. In Jude chapter 1, verse 14, now Enoch also the seventh from Adam. And the reason it says the seventh from Adam, so you can determine which Enoch that it is. Cain had a son named Enoch, who was the third from Adam. But this Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these. He was a prophet, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. In that one verse, he mentions the word ungodly four different times. Ungodly deeds, ungodly committed, ungodly sinners. This is how they were. Enoch, this man, prophesied. He pointed that one day the Lord Jesus Christ would come, and he prophesied to his generation. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony from God Almighty that he pleased God. Enoch's name means instructed or trained. Enoch was the first man spoken of in Scripture as a prophet. He prophesied concerning the judgment of God that would fall on the wicked in the last day when Christ would come again. How did he know this? God revealed it to him. I believe he prophesied of the judgment of his own day. How do you know this? His son, when his son was born, he named him Methuselah. Methuselah's name means, when he dies, it shall come. And Methuselah lived to be 969 years, the oldest man that would ever live, and God let him live that long because God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. But how did Methuselah know when that child was born that this child would live until God would bring judgment? God believed God showed it to him. There's no other way of explaining it. This man walked with God. He walked with God. And God gave him this man, this child, Methuselah. But listen, he lived in those dark, dark days, and he walked with God. Enoch, by strong preaching, rebuked these ungodly men. These sons of God intermingled with these unbelievers. They made these covenants. They made contracts together. And the Bible forbids us to have contacts or contracts with ungodly men. Now listen to me. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? No, they were intermingling. Don't be unequally yoked together. It can't be. And this is what was going on. This is what was going on when these sons of God saw these daughters of men and they took whichever one they wanted. They said, I want her. I'm going to have her and I'm going to marry her. Well, then there was results of these unions, of these marriages. It says, verse 4, they were giants in the earth in those days. And also, after that, the sons of God came unto the daughters of men and they bare children. What was the result of these children? They bore children. The same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Now listen, what was the result of these unions? It says they were giants in the earth. Now this is not giants like the sons of Anakims, like Goliath, who was a giant. They were giants in the earth. But this is not talking about the size of their stature. It's talking about their power, giant men in the earth. Now think with me, their power, they control. How did they control? How were they like giants of men? They did it through intimidation. That's how men work today. They seem to be giants in influence, wealthy men. They wanted it, they saw it, and they saw some potential in it, and they went after it. This is what this was saying. And we have men today that we would look at and the world would admire, and they say, well, those are giants of men. Not giants in stature, but giants in men's eyes. That's what this is saying. And this is the result of this. They laid aside everything that had been taught, and they were giants. And it says they were men of renown. This was their offspring. They were established in power, control. Religion today, it looks like a big giant. It looks like it has established power. But let me tell you this. The sons of Seth were not ever anything in the world's eyes. We read about Cain's. They may have now made a name for themselves, and they wanted to be noticed. They wanted to be giants among men. But not the sons of Seth. That line that was set apart by God. They were not men of renown. They were not interested in making a name for themselves. They were interested in the honor of God. The children of Seth worked with their hands. Look at your calling. Not many wise men, not many noble after the flesh are called. God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. The children of Seth, I believe, knew that God would one day destroy this world. That this is just a temporary world. That we're just passing through. We're just pilgrims. But not the men of this world. They are inventive. They come up with all these inventions. And they go out and they are interested in making a name for themselves. They lusted after those wives, the wives that they had and wanted. Why did they want these wives? Well, maybe her daddy had money. Maybe her daddy had influence. Maybe her daddy owned the business. Say, oh boy, if I can marry her, boy, it's going to bring something to me. I'll be known. I'll be a great man. Everybody will look up to me. I'll get all the power. Do you see the picture? Do you see the similarities? They were drawn away by what they could get. This is a picture of religion in our day. Outwardly, it looks impressive. It appeals to the flesh. It appeals to the eye. Go back and read the book of Proverbs again. The scriptures are full of warning. It says to avoid her house. Said she flatters with her eyes. And it says that many strong men have been slain by that woman. And it's a picture of religion. She appeals to the flesh. It all looks nice outwardly. And that's how they brought these men in to these ungodly relationships, these ungodly unions. Man in religion sees what he wants and he goes after it. But God's people are not so. Enoch walked with God. Walked with God. Well, Enoch was talking about his day. And he described our day, taken up with the things of this world. They are covetous. What is covetousness? Our Lord said it is idolatry. It's worshiping these things. Taken up with more and more and more and more and more. And it says they were marrying and giving in marriage, eating and drinking until the day that God took them all away. What were they consumed with? Feeding their own bellies. It was an age of compromise, and that's where we're at today. They didn't see anything wrong with what they were doing, and they tried to justify it. But they didn't know until the ark, the door was shut, and God shut Noah in, and they began to beat upon the ark. And it was too late then. And let me tell you, we're living in a world today of compromise. People say, well, we can just mix all these religions today. It's today a coexistence and all this garbage. God's people worship God. Enoch walked with God, and Noah found grace in the eyes of God. In those wicked, ungodly days, the days before the flood. Now notice in verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, but that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. 120 years from this announcement, God said, I will open the fountains of the deep. 120 years, Noah preached the gospel to those men and women. Not another man's mentioned. Enoch's dead now. He's gone on. But Noah found grace. Noah, the only preacher on the earth, preaching the righteousness of God. It says he was a preacher of righteousness. This is what it results in. Everybody else lives in the land of Nod, the land of no rest. Noah preached to his sons. He preached to his daughters-in-laws, those that his sons would marry. And he preached to his wife. And 8 souls were saved. 8 souls were saved. Only 8. Noah moved with fear. Only one man. Everybody else was saying, oh, that's not going to rain. It's never rained before. You're just a fool, Noah. But this was the only church where God was meeting with his people, was with Noah and his family. And look in verse 6. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. I can't explain that well. It repented God, but it made God so mad and so angry, and God was grieved at his heart that he made man. God repented that he had ever made man. We have no idea what it is to see and understand the hatred of Almighty God. God is a just God, pure God, holy God, but he's a just God. He was grieved at his heart. And God said, I'll wipe man off the face of the earth. And I'll ask you today, do you believe that God is a God of justice? We're living in those days. We're living in those days. The days before I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming again. There's scoffers in the last days, and they said, oh, I've heard that all my life. Listen, Noah preached for 120 years, and they said, no, we've heard that for years. But it finally happened. If he doesn't come in our lifetime, when we die, his judgment for us. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Either way, it's very close for you and me. Either he comes before we die, or if he comes when we die. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. God help us in this day of compromise to look to him and move with fear to the saving of our house. Amen.